Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Spurs on the Locked On Podcast Network. I am Jeff Garcia, your host for today's episode. I'm also the lead writer over at News 4 San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com over at the Spurs Zone. Now, if I sound a little funny, it's because I've been under the weather. Now, I might be cursed, or this could be a good sign, because every time I'm distracted, something happens. And what I mean by that is I was in San Antonio recently and caught up with family, meeting up with friends. The Kawhi Leonard news came out that he's demanding a trade. Then I get sick, and what happens? Bellinelli, Rudy Gay coming back, and then, of course, the latest and greatest in Kawhi Leonard. So who knows? Maybe every time something bad happens or something good happens, a distraction, that means something for the Spurs. But yeah, as I mentioned, Rudy Gay opted to come back to the Spurs. He did not test free agency waters too much. He is back with San Antonio. We're going to be talking about that. And Marco Bellinelli. Yeah, you heard me. Marco Bellinelli is back. The former Spurs guard was re-signed, or inked, if you will. He didn't re-sign, but he just signed a new deal, a two-year deal, with San Antonio once the free agency period set off. And, of course, there is the everlasting, will it ever end, Kawhi Leonard saga. More foes, more avenues, more streets to explore. So to talk about that and a lot more, I'm joined by Joe Garcia of Two Shots Podcast. And Joe, I'm very under the weather right now, so please forgive me.
It's all good. You still sound good, man.
Thanks, man. Yeah, but you know, I feel like fighting this cold the way Thon Maker is fighting all the Filipino guys or whatever he is. My goodness, you see that video? Thon Maker throwing kicks and elbows.
I thought he was trying to do a wrestling move, man. It was like a flying kick he was trying to do to give one of the opposing players. I mean, that whole brawl was just ridiculous, man. So it was almost like the malice in the palace.
Yeah, if you did not see the video, you probably should. Just go on YouTube and type in Thon Maker, and that you just see him involved in a brutal brawl. But speaking of brawls, of course, we got the Kawhi Leonard issue. Will he not be traded to the Lakers, to the Celtics, to the Sixers? Who knows? We'll talk about that. But let's dive into the latest and greatest, and that is Rudy Gay. Rudy Gay is back with San Antonio after opting out of his not picking up his player option, I should be more specific, and decided to come back to San Antonio. He passed up an $8 million deal when he opted out, or decided not to pick up his player option. He came back for $10 million for 1 year, Joe. Joe, are you glad he's back?
I'm not going to lie. I'm glad that Rudy did come back. We needed him desperately. But, I mean, these one-year deals, I mean, I don't know, man. That's, you want to tie him in for something longer than that. It's like we're just renting him again for another year, you know? It's kind of like, we already drove the car. We know we liked it. Why didn't we offer him a little bit more?
Well, I mean, they did. In essence, he passed up on his $8 million player option for $10 million.
I'm talking about longer
year, but you're right.
Yeah,
you're more focused on the amount of years.
Yes, exactly. Versus, yeah. You're offering him, you're giving him a raise, but you kind of want to lock him in at least for maybe a 3 year deal. That way, he can have that as an option. Maybe stake around for 2 years, but maybe there's something going on with the cap. You know, they need to stay under a certain amount.
Yeah, you know, look. Am I glad Rudy Gay's back? Absolutely. Look, he had himself a pretty solid debut in his first season with San Antonio. Yeah, he got banged up in the middle of the season and was out for quite a long time. But nevertheless, my positive to this is that he came relatively cheap. He's just 1 year. I like that because the Spurs can then free up that cap space to go after kind of one of the big fishes that are going to be in next season's or next offseason's free agency crop, like Kemba Walker, like Klay Thompson. I mean, I get it. They're going to be demanding top dollar, but still, that's money they can set aside, they being the Spurs. I also like this, too, because if Kawhi decides to leave and the Spurs facilitate that through a trade this year, our small forward position is at least okay. Look, Kawhi and Rudy Gay, I get it. They're not the same player, but hey, it's better to have a guy like Rudy Gay at that small forward position who's been there, done that, who, you know, is hungry coming off that Achilles injury that kept him out pretty much all the season with Sacramento before he came to San Antonio. And I also like the fact it's just a veteran presence, a locker room presence. This team is getting younger. They added Lonnie Walker. They added Chimezie Metu. So if this team is getting younger, you know Derek White is likely to see a spike in minutes next year. So why not bring a veteran guy? Who knows what's going to happen to Manu Ginobili? I think that's being underreported right now. But having Gabe back short-term, 1 year, $10 million, I'm okay with that. I know – well, what is your issue with that? I mean, I know you want longer years under the contract. You do realize, though, this Spurs team could be possibly players in next season's offseason free agency crop, which is stellar.
Yeah, it is stellar. The only thing that I have an issue with is, like, you're bringing back Rudy Gay just for one season. I understand, you know, hey, that's it was a move that needed to be done from a strategic standpoint and also to, you know, kind of keep things under the cap a bit, even though the Spurs are a little bit over the cap. But, you know, in the long term, what if we do lose Kawhi Leonard? You know, then we're going to have to wind up paying more for Rudy Gay versus if we would have given him a deal this season to lock him in for maybe 2 years. You know, now we're going to have to pay even more top dollar to keep Rudy Gay because more than likely he's going to prove himself not only this season but in the past season as well. He's going to probably look good, even, you know, even better, I would think, this season, because he was even saying that he was feeling a lot more like himself in the playoffs and coming back from injury. I mean, he just looked outstanding. I can only imagine what he's going to do this season, and that might make his price tag go up a little more. So that's the only thing that kind of scares me a little bit. What if everybody else notices how great he is and they offer him some crazy amount of money to come and play with them? I'm just afraid that we're going to lose Rudy Gay after this 1 year.
Well, look, you're looking at a situation of the Spurs. They got to be flexible as far as the cap situation. 1 year, $10 million, I'm okay with that. That's $10 million off the books next year if they decide to dip into that easy crop. And again, as far as just him coming back for one season, let's face it, this is a transition situation for San Antonio right now. We all know, I mean, it's pretty obvious that Kawhi's days in San Antonio are numbered. Unless a miracle happens and he makes peace with the team and teammates, you know, I doubt that's going to happen. But he's on his way out, so fine. But nevertheless, though, this Spurs team still did well with Gay without Kawhi Leonard for most of the season. Gay, you know, he, what, 57 games, 11.5 points, 5.1 rebounds, 1.3 assists, and about 22 minutes per game. He shot 47% from the field and 31% from the three-point line. He, you know, despite the fact that, yeah, he's a veteran, he's going to be entering his 13th NBA season, he scored in double figures in 33 games that he played for San Antonio. And I like that. Look, this is Popovich we're talking about. This is R.C. Buford. This is the Spurs. Look who they just did. We're talking about him in a bit. They brought back Marco Bellinelli. They re-signed Rudy Gay. They love themselves some veterans, Joe. And they just proved that with the two signings since the free agency period began. Joe, are you worried that Rudy Gay, entering his 13th season, that it's still not enough what the Spurs need to do to contend with the crop and the NBA? I mean, look, LeBron James went to the Lakers now. Everything's shifted. I mean, do you think the Spurs are doing enough to keep up with the Joneses?
Look, this is the funny thing is LeBron James goes to the Lakers and everybody immediately is like, oh, the Lakers are going to be the third best team or the second best team in the West. LeBron James basically left Cleveland, went with the Lakers, who is basically the Cleveland of the West Coast. The players are a little bit better, granted, but as far as the basketball IQ, they're still young kids. So I think he's still going to have these growing pains. So I'm not sold yet on all these things that are being said about the Lakers. But the Spurs, they definitely need to keep up with what other teams are doing. I think they're going in the right direction. The Spurs at this juncture,
and personally,
go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I think at this juncture, the Spurs, you know, they got to make do what they can. It's just everything right now for the San Antonio Spurs hinges on what's going to happen with Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
Does he get traded? What pieces are they going to get back?
Yeah, the Spurs,
Kawhi Leonard is pretty much holding them in hostage right now.
Yeah, the Spurs to me are just missing that one extra piece. They need another legitimate superstar. And Kawhi Leonard, I don't believe that he's going to start the season with the Spurs. I think he's going to wind up trading him, probably somewhere in the East to the East Coast. But the Spurs do need a legitimate superstar, another one, to play alongside a LaMarcus Aldridge. I think if they can have one more piece, they're going to be great. They're going to be in great shape because we kind of saw what happened, Jeff, in the playoffs with LaMarcus Aldridge. Since he was kind of the head of the snake, he was the go-to scorer. When teams tend to take him out of the equation, you know, we actually saw what happened with their first round, you know, knockout with the Warriors. And unless we have a second scorer, a second threat that's a legitimate superstar, we're going to see more of the same. And that's why I'm saying it'd be great if the Spurs can pick up another legitimate superstar, you know, for Kawhi Leonard. But we'll just have to see what happens, man. The window of opportunity to me, Jeff, is getting smaller and smaller for that Kawhi Leonard trade.
Yeah, we're talking about him in a while and what's going on in the latest and greatest. But we're circling back to Rudy Gay. Look, I'm fine with it. I think he's a fan favorite. He proved himself on both ends of the court. Not bad for a guy coming back from Achilles injury. You know, that is just devastating, but he did it. He worked hard. 1 year, I'm okay with that. We'll see what happens. And, hey, at least it keeps a guy like him away from a team like the Warriors or the Lakers. You know, I could definitely see those two teams trying to chase a Rudy Gay to add to their team to shore up their roster. I mean, look, JaVale McGee went to the Lakers. Wow, shocking. You know, you're hearing rumblings of Jamal Crawford trying to take a hometown discount for the Warriors. You don't want a guy like Rudy Gay joining a team like the Warriors or the Lakers, as the Lakers are trying to get on the rise now and seemingly are. And, of course, the Warriors being the Warriors. All right, now let's shift to Marco Bellinelli. But before we do that, once again, I am Jeff Garcia, host of Locked On Spurs. Forgive me if I sound funny. I am dealing with a really bad cold right now. Of course, came at the worst time, the summer and summer free agency. And I'm joined by Joe Garcia of Two Shots Podcast. Now, Marco Bellinelli is back, listeners. That's right. The one-time Spur who won a title with San Antonio back in 2014 against the Miami Heat. He is back. He signed a two-year deal with San Antonio. It'll be formalized later. I know there's still the moratorium right now, but for all intents and purposes, he's inked a deal with San Antonio. He is glad to be back. He put it on his social media how happy he was. Manu Ginobili responded saying that he's happy he's back. But, Joe, what do you think about this signing? It wasn't a splash. It wasn't a big move. But is there any positives that you can see from the signing and bringing back of Marco Bellinelli?
Yeah, first of all, let me say bravissimo. Mamma mia, Super Mario is back. I love that, man. I'm happy to see this, you know, Marco Bellinelli return with the San Antonio Spurs. Every time I see him, you know, when the Spurs were playing an opposing team, I always wish we had him back because he was a great teammate. He had a great presence in the locker room. And another positive is this guy, he knows the Spurs system. He won a championship with us. So who better to bring back than someone who's actually added a little bit more to their game and gotten better since they've left the Spurs. Now they're returning to you. And, you know, this is just a positive for the Spurs. They get some much-needed three-point shooting now. You know, before, the Spurs were one of the worst teams when it came to three-point shooting. Now that you add a Marco Bellinelli, you have a legitimate three-point threat out there on beyond the arc, which can help, you know, the game of Danny Green or, you know, other players that are going to be out there. Hopefully they can bring Davis Bertans back. That would be something to see, you know, have a Marco Bellinelli and a Davis Bertans. I mean, that would be dynamic. But I'm really happy with this, you know, move that the Spurs made to bring Marco Bellinelli back.
Yeah, last year he split time with the Hawks and the Sixers. He actually ended out the season with Philadelphia. Now, there were reports last season, right before the trade deadline and the waiver wire deadline, that the Spurs were chasing Marco. So it looks like the Spurs have been eyeing him. This is a good move for San Antonio, although it does lead me to think about one thing, and we'll talk about that in a few seconds. The reported deal is a 2-year, $12 million. So it's six mil a season. So not too bad. Now, as I mentioned, he played from the Spurs in 2014. Now, grand total was 2013-15. And in two seasons with the Spurs, he averaged about 10 points, and 1.9 assists, and 2.7 rebounds. Now, what has he been done? What has he been doing since he left San Antonio? Oh, I don't know, just pretty much shooting lights out. With the Sixers last season, He scored in double figures in 24 of his 28 games. And he made at least one three-pointers in 26 straight games. This guy, he's added to his game. He's gotten a little bit more consistent. His defense is still suspect, Joe. But look, in 10 NBA seasons, he has career averages of 9.6 points, 2.1 rebounds, and 1.7 assists. Let's not forget, he won the three-point contest back in 2014 when the All-Star game was in New Orleans for San Antonio. Look, he brings back familiarity. He's familiar with the Spurs system. He's a locker room guy. He should slide in seamlessly with San Antonio. But, Joe, still not the right move in my opinion. I don't think the Spurs, you know, needed to bring a guy like this. I like him. You know, he's a great guy. But I just think the Spurs need to get more athletic. And Marco Bellinelli doesn't scream athleticism to me.
He does not scream athleticism, but what he does bring is experience, you know, and not only experience, but he's been battle tested. He's been through the playoffs. So I kind of like that. But yes, I agree with you and that we lose something by bringing him as far as, you know, having an athletic guy who can shoot a 3-point shot and actually, you know, kind of create their own shot and be explosive. You know, we don't really have that right now. We did. And Adavis Bertans, we don't even know if he's going to come back or not, if the Spurs are going to be able to sign him. But the one thing that was suspect with Davis is that his three-point shooting wasn't very consistent. I like the consistency of Marco, but like you said, we do lose some of that athleticism.
Yeah, and look, the Spurs are at a logjam right now at the shooting guard spot. Marco Bellinelli, Lonnie Walker, Danny Green, and who knows what's going to happen with Manu Ginobili, which leads me to believe, you know, was the signing of Marco Bellinelli a sign that Manu may have hung it up, that he already made a decision? Because they are really, they got a lot of guys at that spot, Joe.
Yeah, I think they do. But, you know, in all fairness, I don't even think Manu knows what he's going to do right now. He had mentioned, you know, last season, I'm not going to make my decision until July or even think about what he wants to do come July. And you know what? He's one of these guys that's very straightforward. So I actually believe him. I don't think he even knows what he wants to do right now. So unless the Spurs actually make Manu feel like he's wanted and they actually need him, I believe that Manu will actually retire if the Spurs don't do a good job in convincing him. I mean, let's be honest. They can offer him, I think it was $2.5 million. But if he doesn't feel like, you know, the Spurs really need him at this juncture, I mean, he might just retire. But it would be great to see him come back one more season. I'm selfish because I'm a Spurs fan. I want to see Manu come back one more season. I need it. I want it. So hopefully enough of the fans can reach out to him and make him feel like we can't live without him.
Yeah, exactly. And look, you know, circling back to Bellinelli, look, he averaged about, what, double-digit figures last season with Philadelphia and Atlanta. You know, I think it was about, don't quote me on this, it was about close to 14, like 13.6 points per game. You can't tell me the Spurs could have used that last season, those 14 points that he provided. You know, and look what else he did with Philadelphia. As I mentioned, you know, like he was just tearing it up. But, look, he had, at one point during the postseason last year, he had a grand total of 126 points off the bench, which was second among all players in the 2018 NBA playoffs. I mean, the guy just seemingly just got better with wine. He's not an old guy. A lot of people think he's old. He's not. He's 32 years old. Yes, it's not screaming 20-something like the Warriors or 19, 18 like the Lakers. No, I don't know now with LeBron. But nevertheless, he's not that old. He brings consistency. He's going to bring that shot. The Spurs desperately needed it. Look, the issue last year with San Antonio wasn't necessarily the defense. It was the offense, Joe. You think Bellinelli can help in that department?
Oh, I believe he can. I mean, like you said, the issue was not the defense for the Spurs. It was the offense. And if we had a little bit more, you know, as far as in the offensive end, we had some weapons. You know, maybe we could have won another game. But let's be honest, without that Kawhi Leonard out on the court, I mean, it wasn't going to be long before the Spurs had that exit against the Warriors. Yeah. But, yeah.
You know, Yeah, Bellinelli is just going to help the Spurs. I think the Spurs, if they're going to make a move with Kawhi Leonard, whatever move that is, that's going to be their youth. That's going to be their athleticism. That's going to be their athletic players. Bellinelli is going to help maybe be that steady force if the Spurs do make a deal and net themselves some young players, whether that be from Philly or Boston or the Lakers or the Clippers, who are still not out of the running yet, according to reports. All right, let's go ahead and now transition now. And again, I apologize. I am not in the best of conditions right now. I'm really, really sick. But let's go ahead and transition now to the main event, and that is the saga that just seemingly drags on every day. New twists and turns and new reports, new this and that. That is Kawhi Leonard. Let me just catch you up briefly on the scuttlebutt. From talks of the Spurs are getting underwhelming offers, that trying to get him, to the Clippers stepping up their game, to Philly doing something dumb and saying, we want Kawhi, but we don't, you can't have Embiid, Simmons, Fultz. I don't get that, but okay, I guess they really don't want Kawhi. And of course, the Celtics, who really don't have anything to lose. I mean, they're fine, you know, why bust up that core? Joe, we're at this juncture now where it seems, it's screaming now that Kawhi has the upper hand and his camp has the upper hand in this back and forth between the Spurs and Leonard.
I don't really know about that. I mean, Kawhi demanded to be traded, reportedly. Hasn't, you know, been an actual fact that's come out. It's just hearsay. He demanded to be traded to the Lakers, or he wanted to be with one of the LA teams. If it's not the Lakers, the Clippers. That's obviously not going to transpire now that what they have the signing of LeBron James. I mean, the Lakers would be fools to blow up the team and then just get, you know, Kawhi Leonard. I actually think that at this juncture, I think the power is in the Spurs' hands. Kawhi can be demand to be traded, you know, to a certain team, but ultimately the Spurs are going to decide where he's going to land, because they're going to want to make the best trade possible for their future. Not because, oh, I want to be traded to this team, I'm going to be traded there. It doesn't always work that way. And with the window of opportunity closing in on Kawhi, as far as what teams are going to be, you know, have the viable assets to be, you know, make a trade for Kawhi, I think he might, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility where he could be forced to play with the Spurs, you know, when the season starts. I mean, stranger things have happened.
Yeah, I disagree with you. I think Kawhi Leonard and his camp has the upper hand right now. Look, the Spurs reportedly are getting underwhelming offers. Why? Because everybody knows that he wants to go to Los Angeles, according to reports. You can't tell me Philadelphia is going to say, here's Fultz, here's Saric, here's two of our picks, X, Y, and Z, for a guy who's only going to be there for a year, and if he really doesn't want to commit long term. That goes same for Boston Celtics. If I'm Boston, yeah, I don't blame them. I'm not going to give you Tatum or Jaylen Brown or Rozier or Sacramento pick. Because what if this kid, Kawhi Leonard, decides to bolt? The Spurs are in a position now where Kawhi Leonard, in my opinion, holds all the cards. Look, he's going to get to L.A. somehow. Whether that be a trade or the Spurs are left empty-handed after his contract expires this coming season. He's going to go to L.A. if that's his desire. Now, yes, he can get traded to a Philly or a Boston or a Clippers or what have you, and then sign long-term, you know, if they work their magic. But I can see why Spurs are getting underwhelming offers, because of the fact that he has proclaimed that the Lakers or L.A. is his desired location. Joe, the Spurs, and Spurs fans and the listeners of the show, gotta be ready. If a trigger is pulled and the Spurs do make a trade, it's not going to be equal value, Joe.
No, not at this juncture. I mean, that, like I said, the window of opportunity is already closing in. And, you know, quite honestly, based on everything I've seen, and I get out quite a bit, so I talk with a lot of Spurs fans out in the streets. Everybody pretty much here in San Antonio is ready to move on from Kawhi. You know, they're tired of the drama. They're tired of, you know, everything that's being said. It's time. If he comes back and he's forced to play a season, you know, with the San Antonio Spurs, I almost guarantee that when they announce him on opening night, if he's still a Spur, he's going to get booed and he's going to feel unwelcome from day one. You know, this is going to be a volatile situation. And if they can't find some viable asset, some maybe a future pick or a player that they can use right now to help the team, I mean, I just don't know what's really going to happen at this juncture. Yes, you want to go to the West Coast, but if you're going to get, you know, an offer from the East Coast, I mean, the Spurs are going to want to deal him east. You go from playing him twice a year on the East Coast to having to play him maybe four times a year if he stays in the West. So, I mean, and the Spurs aren't going to, I believe at this point, and it's reported too that the Lakers and the Spurs talks have stalled. Nothing's really been, no side has really been aggressive at this juncture. And I don't know if there's going to be a deal made. I mean, the Lakers, honestly, are going to be happy with the team they have right now and LeBron. So I don't know. Maybe he goes to the Clippers if he wants to go to L.A. That's the only thing I can see happening.
Yeah, look, this is a sticky situation for San Antonio because they're damned if they do, they're damned if they don't. They're damned if they do because they know they're not going to get equal value. They're damned if they don't because then he can either sit out and get fined or not get paid according to NBA rules. Or he can just simply play, you know, half-assed and or say, I'm injured. Oh, no, my quad is acting up again and sit out once again. And then, well, my contract expired. Later, Spurs, and they left empty-handed. And that's why I disagree with you, Joe. I think Kawhi has the upper hand here and his camp. I mean, this is a situation that Spurs got to tread lightly. If they're going to make a deal, this is a situation where they just cannot simply be looking at this whole, I don't want to send him to the West. No. I don't want to send him to the Lakers. No. Yes, you're sending him to the Lakers. We'll pair him up with LeBron. I get that. And that's brutal for the Spurs because they're in the same conference. But if no team is going to willing to deal with them, you know, I mean, look what Philly reportedly said. You can't have Fultz, Simmons, or Embiid. I mean, come on, Joe. I mean, what is that? And then, you know, the Lakers cooled a bit because, yeah, they already reached at their max. They re-signed Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. They picked up JaVale McGee. They obviously gave LeBron James that massive contract. They pick up Lance Stephenson. So they're already past their salary cap. So unless a trade is worked out between the Spurs and the Lakers, that's the only way it's going to happen. The Lakers can lowball the Spurs because they can just sit back and relax and wait till next year and next offseason and then ink them, lock them up, and he's a Laker. So, Joe, you know, at this point, Joe, do you think the Spurs should simply just get the best offer and move on?
I think it's going to come down to that if both sides decide that, you know, in the best interest of the team and going forward, you know, it's best to part ways. They're going to have to do something. You know, equal value went out the door as soon as, you know, all these teams started making their grabs when free agency broke. You know, I think it was on Thursday night, Friday morning. So, I mean, it's just a sticky situation. And the thing is that if Kawhi decides he's hurt or refuses to play, he's just lowering his stock in my eyes. And not only in my eyes, but I think in a lot of other teams that might be looking at him. Do you really want a player that's going to claim that he's hurt and possibly not play another season? I mean, do you want a player who's going to say, hey, I'm going to jeopardize or I'm going to sabotage the team by playing only, you know, half-ass basketball or possibly not even playing at all? I mean, to me, I think Kawhi's already hurt his image and his stock by all this drama that he's created and really not saying much. So I think that if a team is looking at Kawhi as a whole, he's a gamble. You know, you're going to go out there and what? You're going to try and get this player locked in that the quad still hasn't been proven, for one. We don't know. It's supposedly he's already 100%. But for how long? He's injury prone. It's not going to be an injury that is going to just go away. He's going to heal from it and it's going to go away. No, this is something that's harbored him throughout his career. This isn't going to go away anytime soon. As he gets older, and I think it's going to get progressively worse. So it is a gamble. You know, you're not going to get equal value. The Spurs are just going to have to really take the best offer that comes their way.
Yeah, I agree with you, Joe. I think this situation with the Spurs, and I think, let me just backtrack a little bit. I think the situation here is this: if he's still on that roster, which I think Kawhi may still be on the roster next to start the season. I don't necessarily say he's going to end the season with them, but I mean, he better not step foot in that AT&T Center. It's
Oh,
going to
man.
be, crazy. And also this too. Look. Is this not to put out the fact that the Spurs could trade him mid-season, the trade deadline? They'll go to the very bitter end. But at that point, teams know that the Spurs are over a barrel. They know they got to get something before they get nothing. So the teams could just pretty much fleece them at that point. So it's either this: either you get fleeced now, Spurs, or you get fleeced later. Get the best deal possible you can. Yeah, I get it. You want Kuzma. I do want Kuzma as well. Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, and a couple of draft picks, I will be okay with that. Versus nothing at the end of the day. Or Philadelphia, they're offering you Saric, Covington, and a couple of picks. Fine, maybe that might be the better route because at least he's in the East, and yeah, they'll deal with him for at least a season if he decides to leave Philly and go to LA after his contract is over. So it's just all around a bad situation. But I can tell you this much: I think the Spurs are going to try their best to get a deal done before the season starts, simply because you don't want to start the season off with that type of dark cloud over your head, the roster, the questions again. You know the
It's a
media's going to be asking
distraction in the
Pop and the
locker room,
players. It'll be a distraction. So either he's going to start the season and he'll probably be shipped out fast, or they'll do something before preseason starts. Joe, any final words on pick a topic, Gabe Bellinelli or the Kawhi Leonard situation?
I say it like this: Spurs fans, they've already seen what the Spurs can do without Kawhi Leonard. Given, the draft picks that they've had this season and the NBA draft, the free agent pickups that they had in Rudy Gay and Marco Bellinelli, and we know that Danny Green is returning. I know people feel a certain way about that, but the team will be okay if Kawhi, isn't with the Spurs. I think the Spurs will still be a team that will, dare I say, win 50 games next season. So I believe that the team is going to be in good shape to make another run in the playoffs, and we'll just see how things transpire throughout the season. But with Kawhi or without Kawhi, the Spurs will be just fine.
Yeah, they proved it last year, and hopefully they can do it again. Let's not forget, Lonnie Walker could have a breakout year. Hopefully Pop doesn't keep him on a rookie leash, and you know what that means. He doesn't let rookies play that much. Anyway, look, the Summer League is going to start later today by the time you're listening to this show. So, yeah, I mean the young, I mean who I think DeJounte Murray is going to have himself a breakout season. LaMarcus Aldridge will still be LaMarcus Aldridge, and we'll take it from there. But look, I think Spurs fans, you, Joe, myself, we already got in our heads that Kawhi is no longer a Spur. His image among Spurs fans has turned big time. I mean, my goodness, Joe. I mean, the stuff that you see out on social media is vicious, and get him out of here. He's never been a Spur. Kawhi baby. I hear all that stuff. So.
They're questioning his loyalty, is what it comes down to. And when they question your loyalty, you've already tarnished your image.
And it makes me wonder, and I'm not trying to imply anything right now, so do not say anything or read into this, but at one point during the offseason, is no longer there. DeJounte Murray had posted a statement on his Instagram saying something about loyalty and money. It's no longer there, but I don't know. I wonder if that was already that he knew something was up
Yeah,
with
those are things
Kawhi
that make
Leonard.
you go,
Yeah, I know. So. The Kawhi Leonard saga drags on. Who knows if the next time we meet, we'll be talking about how he got shipped to L.A., Clippers, Lakers, or Philly, Boston. Who knows? But my goodness, come on, Boston. Do us a favor here. Come on,
Just
please.
give us Tatum.
Boston's the only team that makes sense in all of this drama. It just makes sense, but I get it. I get it. What does Boston have to lose? Nothing. Look what they did already without Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. Now imagine that with them too. And who knows? Before we put a wrap though, are you okay though with a Kyrie Irving deal? What do they say? Kyrie Irving picks and Rozier. Would you be okay with that?
At this juncture, I'd have to say I'd be perfectly fine with that. I mean, you need to get Kawhi out of SA as soon as you can. And you know what? That's not a bad deal. I think the Spurs would actually pull the trigger on that.
Yeah, we'll see. Every day it's Kawhi Watch 2018, and every day it's somebody said this, somebody said that, and this and that. Oh, it's getting ready. There's a point, Joe, where everybody, I'm like, I don't want to even write about this anymore.
It's worse than a Mexican novella.
Let me know when he's traded.
Yeah, it's worse than a Mexican novella. Yeah, exactly. Wake me up when he's traded. You know, let's have some type of an alarm go off, sound out. You know, let's have like a bat signal come out in the sky of San Antonio. Kawhi's been traded. Hallelujah. You know?
can you already imagine that first game back home, whether he's wearing a Laker or Boston or a Philly jersey or a Clipper jersey? Oh, my God.
It's going to be
I've never seen the Spurs go through something like this before.
Yeah, it just makes you wonder.
The team. And even back when I was just maybe the closest, Dennis Rodman, maybe when he wanted out, maybe.
You know, and even the Worm wasn't that dramatic. You know, Dennis wasn't as dramatic.
No, the Worm just wanted out. Just get me out. Yeah. Call it a day, yeah.
Well, you know,
Derek Anderson?
Maybe. But, you know, the Worm made it known that he just didn't fit here in San Antonio. He didn't want to be preached to. He just wanted to play ball. You know, so that was another, you know, we'll talk about that on another show. But Kawhi has been
exactly. We're getting off the rails here.
Yeah, no, Kawhi's just been a lot of drama. It's been a big distraction for the team in general. And I think everyone at this juncture is just ready to move on.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I'm ready to move on. And I need to move on, too, because I need to get better. So for Joe Garcia of Two Shots Podcast, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.